All right, welcome everybody. We're back with another episode of the Pros Talk, and I've got the first guest that's going to make me feel old, the first guest I've known for his entire life, and a good family friend, Curtis Murray.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm pretty excited to be here, honestly. Like, I watched a couple of your podcasts before, just to kind of see what we're dealing with here, and I actually was pretty, like, impressed, like, some of the conversations.
So I know what I'm doing, or what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to be here, so.
Well, and I think we're going to have an interesting conversation, because for me, I was excited because I was in your shoes at 21, you're 20. Mm-hmm. The small guy on the ladder. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that's being overlooked because of my age, the one that's being, mm-hmm. you know, underestimated yeah. because I still got a pretty boy baby yeah. face, right? Like, yeah. it's got to be hard.
Yeah, I do. I especially because, honestly, I don't know what you looked like when you were 20, but I'm thin. I've always been sort of the short guy,
yeah.
small guy. And even still, people think I'm like 15. So it's like, oh, thanks. I guess one day that'll. I hope when I'm 40, they'll be. Oh, you look 20. Thanks. Thank you. I hope they keep that same energy.
That's but, right. And it's anyway. It's hard. It's hard because. Yeah, I mean, when I was a giant, but yeah. I was the same as you. I was working out,
yeah.
Trying to be healthy. Didn't have much life commitments, so I could live a little yeah. and be out and about. But you're in an industry with. Mortgage brokerage,
yeah.
That's a older dominated yeah. field, and so what's the adjustment been like getting into it?
It's been a learning curve for sure. It's been like I always say. Well, I haven't really said to Tina, but every kind of week, I learn something new, and then I feel like I know everything for a week, and then I get to the top of the mountain. And then I'm back down to the very start, and it's like, holy crap, I'm thinking, this is so difficult, and then I just kind of chip away at it, week or two later, all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I feel like I know everything again, and then back to the bottom, and the cycle restarts, so it's been a learning curve for sure, and it's just, I'm lucky to be working with Tina, because she's, and Joanne as well, Tina, Tina is my mother, you... Probably have seen the podcast before with her, but anyway, yeah. So
yeah, she's come on twice.
Yeah, she has, and yeah. just recently too, right?
Yeah, it hasn't. Well, it'll air just before you, two episodes before you, but we've got guests now coming back for a second time.
Okay.
So you know, we'll get the views through the roof on yours.
Yeah,
and then we'll have you back.
Yeah, maybe I should try. Let's try to pump this up so I can brag to mom.
Yeah, yeah, say, we need to beat her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, guys,
get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I mean that top of the mountain comment and back down again. I think what you're referring to is just you're learning
yep.
that principle of that
yeah,
mortgage,
exactly.
that situation,
exactly.
and you yeah, conquer it.
Yeah.
But then you get a new twist on yeah. the next one. Maybe there's a hurdle. So
and then what's a consumer proposal, and how's that? What does that have to do with a mortgage? And then you're back to the bottom, Tina. What am I doing here? What the hell am I doing here? Like it's crazy, and then again, you kind of learn the concept of consumer proposal, and like I guess I'm just kind of learning. This is a situation that I'm kind of learning this week or last week, and it's like I guess consumer proposal and bankruptcy on like regarding a mortgage is pretty well the same thing, but they're a little bit different. So anyway, no, it's again, yeah, like you think you know something, and then you run into something completely different. It's like. What can we do here? Like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing here. So,
and I think that's the best way to learn because again, you know, I'm 45 now.
Yeah.
So I started at 21 and that's how I learned
yeah.
was trial and error.
Yeah.
I've got jobs that I totally screwed up.
Yeah.
Like pooched beyond belief,
yeah.
went home thinking, fuck,
yeah,
like I'm
fucked,
done,
yeah.
I'm dead,
yeah.
this is going to ruin me,
yeah.
but it didn't make
yeah.
me stronger. And I learned mm. from those mistakes. So it's nice to hear that refreshing voice, that,
yeah.
that boots on the ground technique where you're learning as you go. So with that, I mean, you're coming off of a week, 2 weeks that you're holding down the fort,
yeah.
kind of?
It's been a week and I have a week longer and I'm filling in for Tina because she's in Florida. for two weeks.
On a holiday?
On a holiday.
I've never heard of her taking a holiday.
Yeah, no. She never takes holidays. Never takes holidays. Only four or five a year.
So when she comes back,
yeah,
everything's going to be more organized?
Uh-huh. We'll see. I might have to work a little bit
have
later.
Have you been in her office with your feet on the desk?
Yeah, no. It's been... No, but like one day I stay till... I think I got in there at 7:30 in the morning with Joanne, because that was last Monday. We wanted to get in, get organized before 9 o'clock hits, and everyone starts sending emails. Yeah. Under starts sending
phone
emails.
Calls start.
Phone calls start coming in like crazy. Catch our feet for an hour and a half, and then usually I would leave at 4 or 5. Well, I think I was in there till like 7:38, and I was like pretty well. Like I was working pretty good, so I wasn't like, you know, twiddling my thumb, like I was going to town.
That's one of the things that I'm you know, I said to your mom I have a few surprise comments for you through this podcast, and one of the things I do is I'm an observer. So I like to observe those around me, and like I said, I've known you as long as I've known my own kids. Mm-hmm. Right, because down the street from
exactly.
us we grew up. You guys know Jordan very well, and yep. Marissa, but there was always something unique about you. And when we were at the parties at my place or gatherings and you guys were in tow, you communicated. You weren't really one of the ones that were out, you know, causing trouble and just being a regular kid. You hung around the adults a little bit and you always asked questions. I think you've always shook my hand.
I think so, but you might have crushed my hand a couple times.
But you know what I mean? This is a compliment that, and now here we are. You're 20 years old. You're holding down the fort at DLC in Kempville.
Yeah.
You're doing your own thing. You're working late hours and you're starting early.
Yeah.
Hats off to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you got a little brushing up to do, though, because I'm here by 5:36.
Mm-hmm. I wake up at I was waking up at 5. I joined the 5 a.m. club a little bit. And then I started to, I'm trying to see what kind of, I'm trying to make, like, sustain over time. Like, smart. If I can wake up at 5:45, but I can constantly do that over 20 years, I'd rather do that than wake up at 5 and want to friggin' shoot myself every day because it's friggin' painful, so.
It is, and I think that's, you know, I might crash earlier than most,
yeah.
But what you said about getting there at 7:30 before the 9 o'clock phone rush, yeah. That's pretty much the same here, yeah. Is I've got it carved out where I can get my daily must-haves done.
Out of the way
before 9 o'clock. But I need about from 6 a.m. till 9, so I need 3 hours.
Yeah.
But then the day feels normal and you don't feel defeated, like mm-hmm. you said, where you want to blow your brains out because you're like, I didn't get anything
done,
and now I'm double backlogged.
Yeah.
So having that extra time. So I think it's cool that you're going to try to work out your life cycle almost.
Yeah.
So do you work out in the morning or afternoon?
I work out in the afternoon, usually when I come home. So here was kind of like the dilemma.
So late.
I would come home at like, I'd get off at 5. Usually it was 9 to 5.
Right.
I'm starting to look at my time and think like, where's the time going a little bit? Cause I feel like I'm super rushed when I get home. So anyway, I'd work till like 5:30, get home at 6:30. And then I would work out for 2 hours. And then I would be going like two and a half hours, but then I'd eat. And then I'd go to sleep at like 9:30, 10. So it was just like super packed. And one thing I'd wake up tired. And I think it was because I was eating food right before bed because I'd work out and work out till 8:39 and then go to sleep at 9:30. But I had a smoothie in that time. So it's digesting the food. And I'd wake up like
exhausted. I knew you were into it all. And I was surprised that you said you worked out late.
Yeah.
I was, because when I was working out back when I was fit, it was always morning, right? Because you want to get that burst
get
of energy and get your engine fired, right?
No,
you want to pre-start the car.
Exactly.
But coming and working out for 2 hours, you wrapped up between 7:30 and 8, shit, shower and shave, bed by 9:30. You only have an hour and a half of active burning happening.
I agree. It's, I'm trying to, like, over the New Year's, I kind of sat down, I kind of reorganized like what I want to accomplish type of thing. And I just kind of thought like, I'm just like, I can get this done, but I just kind of got to evaluate my time and think like, what am I doing every day? Like you'll hear, I think David Goggins, he'll always say, like, you have time. You have time. You have lots of time. You got to sit down, you know, take 2 days and think, okay, write down every single thing you do in that day. And then just think, how much time are you wasting here? 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 So I kind of did do that. And I kind of thought, like, what can I cut out? Like, I make turkey bacon in the morning. And there's not a really, like, I do too. I do like it a lot. But it takes like 15, 20 minutes to make. And in the morning, you're trying to get going.
Yeah.
But also, there's only like 4 grams of protein for 2 slices.
Yeah, it's very low.
And so, like, I was making 4 slices. So that's 8 grams of protein. And only like maybe like 200 calories. So I'm trying to put on a little bit of muscle, put on a little bit of weight, add some calories. But there's not a lot of pros to it. There's only 8 grams of protein.
Yeah, it's a very lean, low protein, but it's amazing.
It tastes good.
Marissa makes it and freezes it, it's pre-made, so she can just pretty much warm it and then go, or toaster oven. Yeah.
Nice. That's
smart. You open up our freezer, there's like, stop by on the way home. Yeah. There's all kinds of Ziplocs with turkey bacon laying in it.
That's smart. Oh, my God. Yeah. I got to do that.
Yeah.
And it tastes good?
Yeah, it tastes same.
Wow. And but when you put it in the microwave, or you just kind of warm it up on the pan?
She does have a toaster oven or the microwave, depending on how late she is.
We have an air fryer now. We could just throw that in there.
Exactly, but it's already two seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
So you just gotta get warm it up. Ice off. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, okay. And she puts it in the freezer.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she cooks
smart.
A whole pack, and then she puts it in, like, if you only eat 4 slices,
yeah,
Ziploc it to 4 slices. Parchment paper separates it, everything, like OCD. Wow. But I opened up the other day and I was like, why is there single pieces of bacon in the fridge?
That's awesome. I usually meal plan every week just because, again, I like to wake up. And at one point, I'd wake up and look in the fridge and be like, oh, crap, I got to buy lunch today. So I would just, like, I find it so easy.
Which is a detriment away, right?
Exactly. It's just, you wouldn't believe the amount of money, like $5, $10 a day, how much that adds up over, you know, a week, a month, a year type thing.
Jordan, you need to come on the podcast. Curtis is going to tell how much money you're wasting. Yeah,
exactly. So I just
all
like,
the time.
I mean, it's kind of, I don't really like meal planning, but I like waking up and knowing, again, I need to change it up a little bit, but I have something to eat every day.
Yeah. It's Marissa does clean Sunday and Thursdays. I think she does her meal prep.
Yeah.
And we've bought a bunch of those, like, Costco Tupperwares, and she's got steak, rice, and veggies in the fridge right now. That'll be like the next three days, and it's literally, she just grabs a Tupperware on her way out, throws it in her gym bag, and she's gone. She's got two shakes, and she just goes to town on it, because I think she's the same as you. She's hardcore into the workouts. You know, that's what she wants. She wants to be that health level. I don't know. I think she's got maybe an ounce of body fat on her right now. But she's been working out in the basement, and then now at the gyms, she's going a little bit, but I think she likes the flexibility to be able to just go downstairs.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It is nice. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm glad we talked about the health aspect a little bit, because I knew it was a big party. Are you still playing hockey?
No, I'm too old. I was going to do beer league, but we'll see. Well, yeah, I'm too young.
You're in that. People think nobody loves me.
Exactly.
Segment.
Exactly. Yeah. Am I Pee-wee? Am I 24? Like, who knows at this point?
You can just shave a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Pretend you're 15.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably could. I could change my birth certificate.
Or just grab Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I could. Especially with masks and stuff. Who knows?
No, but exactly. Right. But Evans always looked different than you guys.
Yeah.
And now I saw the photos from Florida and stuff, and I think he's a little Curtis now. Yeah. He's got the hat backwards. He's styling. Yeah. He's profiling. Like, what's going on with Ev?
One time he got his hair cut, and I said, you look like a bootleg me. And then I said, you look like a bootleg me. And then I said, no, I look like a bootleg you.
Yeah, really? That's
that was
funny.
Too, but because I'm obviously older than him. So he just loved that. He thought that was hilarious. I'm a bootleg him. That's too funny because he got my haircut going too.
He does. I saw him with the flow.
I was like, no, I look like a bootleg you. I just felt so... Oh, that was too funny.
That is funny. So how is it working with Tina and at DLC? So I know Tina's credentials and stuff. So where are you at in the profession? So are you able to do mortgages? Like, give me a look. Like, where are you at with it? Like, people call. Can they deal with you? Can they deal with Tina? Give me the sense of all that.
Sure. So, I technically, I'm pretty sure maybe Tina will say to me, you know, in 2 weeks when she hears this, that, well, anyway, no, I'm pretty sure we have the same designation.
Perfect.
I'm pretty sure. I want her to get, so she's a mortgage agent.
Yep.
And she could go for her broker.
For her brokerage license.
She could do it, but it's finding like 2 weeks to do it. Yeah. It's the problem. I'm trying to get her to do it because, again, it's just kind of like a broker, not an agent. But, yeah, no, technically we have the same designation. Yeah, somebody, I could take on my own clients. I could do that stuff. Now, I'm not minding not having, as bad as that sounds, not having my own business because it's just, I want to say, a culture shock, but in the sense of like you're learning something brand new. And even like when Tina would work, she worked at the bank.
Yes. I think
RBC. She worked for like 15, 20 years and she took multiple titles. And before she left the bank, she was working for a mortgage, like the mortgage specialist at the branch. And she was his assistant. So she, like even before she was doing this stuff, for me, it's just been like a completely new experience.
And following the same path, because you're going to sponge off Tina.
Exactly.
For as long as you can, obviously, and learn. Because, I mean, she knows her stuff when it comes to mortgages. I mean, she's written mine. She's dealt with us all.
I call her the mortgage wizard, and she loves that.
I need to get her a hat.
Yeah, exactly. The mortgage wizard. Darren Jabot, he said, you need to get her a Halloween or dress her up for Halloween like that. Then the mortgage wizard, I just thought that was hilarious. Yeah, I'd be talking to somebody and I'd just say, Tina, you know, I may not be very good right now because I'm learning. I'm just learning.
You're the wizard in training.
Right? I'm the wizard in training, but I said, Tina's a wizard. Like she'll run some numbers. Like
that's awesome. Funny. And it's funny. Is because, I mean, I've put her on the spot for stuff. So, I mean, but for you to learn the diversity. Yeah. Right. To see those. I hope she's bringing you in on those diverse mortgages because seeing it is the best way to learn.
Exactly.
Do you find that the best way to learn, too?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to.
I couldn't stand school.
No, me neither. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. No, I'm trying to get in on more conversation, especially. Well, I want to say it's kind of like a slow period, but everyone's trying to like refinance and switch because the rates are going up. So anyway, but no, it's I was trying to, you know, going on the conversation, start listening a little bit. Even just, I would say, Mom, she'd have it on her headset.
Put
it on speakerphone, because I just want to hear it. I just want to, like, I'm never
going to
get good.
Yeah, you need to be that shadow in the room just to hear how she, even how to deal with it. Like, I'm starting to pull Jordan into meetings more, you know, and I that's the only reason I want him in the meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Don't talk.
I mean, if you have an idea, let me know.
Yeah.
But to hear how you deal with situations is so key.
Exactly.
And like I said, if I'm the same boat as you were, like school wasn't really our cup of tea.
No.
You can't teach how to deal with people in situation in textbook, in my opinion. Yeah. So learning young, like I did 15 years with the company I was with first.
Yeah.
And it taught me every avenue of customer relation, invoicing, when to stress about late payments, when not to.
Yeah.
That's a big one. But it's got to be key. So yeah, if she's on the mic and not on speaker, she's selling you short.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. So. To your point, like I didn't mind school. I did okay, like B's and the odd A. I was a B student, maybe C sometimes, but anything until I kind of, I don't know, something, it's almost like COVID just kind of, something clicked inside me, and I started reading. I've read in a couple books, and like you probably would have known me 5 years ago, I went to picked up a book to save my life.
I don't think
to kill a mockingbird, no chance in hell.
I don't think I've read two books in my life.
I know, yeah, and then until I just kind of, I started to actually like have an interest in like the way kind of like money works, and even like mortgages. I started listening to Dustin Woodhouse. He's a mortgage broker out of I don't think he does. He coaches mortgage brokers, but he was a very successful mortgage broker in Vancouver. But anyway, you know, I started listening to him, and I started reading books. And again, I don't know, like if you would have known me 5 years ago and you'd look at me now, you'd be like, what the hell? What happened to him? But anyway.
But if you found something of interest, like there's a big difference to being told to read To Kill a Mockingbird or Tom Sawyer or whatever.
Yeah.
All great in their own place.
Yeah.
But to have something, like one of the books that I read is the biography of Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Grew up. Watching him on TV.
Yeah.
I'm a big
Back to the Future. Michael J., that's Back to the Future.
I'm a big Back to the Future fan.
Yeah.
But the fact that this man went through life hiding his disease.
Yeah. What do you have?
Parkinson's.
Oh.
Like severe.
Really? Oh,
I thought. And he acted through it. Like, wow. It's really worth. Wow. Like, that's my avenue. Yeah. I like to read stuff about triumph and struggle.
Yeah.
You're on the brokers and the money guys and the investment guys.
Yeah.
Have you read any of Brock's books yet?
No, I haven't.
I'll have to throw it in the mailbox. Okay. He gave me one of his, really? The latest one.
Which one?
How to Retire in 10 Years.
Okay. Yeah, no, we were listening, Tina and I. Actually, I think maybe we were coming from this podcast that you had her on. And I was like, yeah, let's listen to it.
Because she texted me afterwards and she said you liked it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was really good. I like Brock. He's
a wild man.
Guy. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He seems to live a pretty cool life, so.
Have you followed him on Facebook yet?
No, not Facebook. Instagram.
And so, yeah. So he's traveling until the mandates are over.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's dope.
He caught COVID. He was in Antarctica.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, yeah.
I think knew that. I think I saw
it. Yeah, he's doing Instagram posts. He posts his office every day.
Yeah.
And he's just. Yeah,
he'll be drinking a martini or something in Argentina.
Yeah, that's could you imagine?
That's crazy. That's awesome.
I think he's only 35.
Okay,
he's young.
Yeah,
and the book's not about retiring.
Yeah,
he says it right in the podcast.
Yeah,
that it's just about having the freedom to do what you want.
Exactly.
And this guy's been he left like a week or so after the podcast recorded.
Yeah,
and he's been traveling for the past 2-3 months.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. No,
no wife, no kids.
I know.
You know, he's got his mom and family and stuff here, but he works afar. And that's the benefit of the industry.
I like
picked.
That. Yeah. I kind of like model. If I could model my kind of life on something, that's kind of, as I don't getting deep into things, I don't really plan on having kids and don't like maybe a wife, who knows? Maybe the right person will come.
Oh,
but
see,
again, travel around
had to,
and
had to give a shit.
He's a bachelor. He's a bachelor. He dates beautiful women. Coming from him, he says that. So he travels. He's got a airplane. That's pretty cool.
And a decent car. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Crazy. He's got an airplane.
He pulled up in his he had like an M6, a Mazda M6.
Really?
He took me out and showed it to me after
cool.
the thing, and it was cool.
Yeah.
And he's a tall dude like I am.
Is he?
Very tall. Hmm. And I was like, how do you fit in that? And he says, it doesn't matter. You still look good.
Yeah. I like that. That's good. Nice.
But, I mean, the industry that you're in is going to really promote. Because, again, he's a broker.
Yeah.
You know, he works afar. I'm sure your mom's still working on, if something's pressing.
Yeah. No,
she can log on.
Exactly.
But
she was for a little bit. During the week, and she's probably Monday. We're probably gonna get together, have a little powwow. But again, I think like even with COVID, it's kind of shown, and almost like a lot of industries are starting to adapt to like you can work from home. I can work from anywhere. Like I know somebody, her name's Susan. She works for DLC, and I think she's out of Ottawa. But anyway, no, she built a bus. And now she's in the States. I think she's in
Arizona. She's driving.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
With her partner. She's driving around and they've been to like California, Arizona, maybe Arkansas, but she's working too. I called her on Friday because I had a question for her, but no, she drives around.
The first question, where are you?
No, because I knew where she was. I think she was in Arizona.
That's like Brock. I find myself logging in to see where.
Just seeing where Brock is.
Where's the office
that's
today?
Cool.
Text him. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool.
But, I mean, to the COVID thing, you know, me dating myself per se, but like the virtual the virtual meetings and all that in my industry, architecture, doesn't work.
No.
It's horrible.
Why? Because it got to be
I want to draw. I want to draw and I want to show. And
exactly.
Yeah, like every single one of my clients, don't be embarrassed if it happens to you.
Yeah.
They point at my screen. And I'm like, it's my screen and you're at home
pointing.
I can't see where your finger is once it passes the camera. It doesn't work.
No,
I'm almost trying to be like an artist that's reading your mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. The big TV doesn't work for me. I need it back in person. So we have, I mean, well over 95% of my clients come in
Yeah.
and we're meeting, we're good. it's slowly getting back, but it created such a backlog before with the mandates and the way we were allowed to do business because people were so terrified, obviously.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Petrified.
Yeah.
Scared out of their minds.
But it's changed big time in a matter of a month, I think.
It has.
It's insane. Like, I've got friends telling me that they're going places without masks now and not even being questioned.
Yeah.
And then obviously we see what's happening in Ottawa. That's a big thing, but there's all kinds of movements. But what is it? Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Nova Scotia have dropped mandates?
Maybe. Okay. I feel like
I know Alberta Saskatchewan and Alberta. Yeah. Okay. Saskatchewan was first, Moe.
Yep.
Alberta announced that theirs are dropping, and I think Nova Scotia's on the mend. But then we got Denmark has declared no COVID.
England.
Yeah. It's done. Well, England just said you're going to live with it.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's something that's been coming.
Yeah.
I think it needs to happen. I'm big about the live with it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's, and then,
you know, I find the most ironic part of it all, and I'm not really supporting, I'm not going to really give a highly controversial opinion, outlook on, you know, maybe we'll talk privately.
Yeah,
well,
we can always talk privately.
No, I just find it very funny that, like, when the truckers are there, they're, you know, all the Ottawa's complaining and the Ontario government's complaining. Oh, it's hurting small businesses in Ottawa. It's hurting small business. You fuckers haven't fucking given a shit in 2 years.
100%.
Don't be coming at me. Don't be coming at them because they've been there for a week, okay? Like that, I thought that was pretty ironic.
The
like,
one that blew me up was kind of the same, was an article. I want to say it was CBC. It could have been The Citizen, but I know it was Ottawa. And it was, I think, day 4 or 5 saying that these businesses are allowed to be open.
Yeah.
And for 4 days, the truckers have blocked them.
Yeah.
And again, pro-trucker, anti-trucker, don't give a damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the CFIB released that in the past 3 years that we've been dealing with COVID, 437 days is the grand total of days mandatory closed. So if they're bitching about 5 days, why aren't they bitching about 400? That's a year and 2 months closed. No choice.
I agree. I totally agree.
Why and isn't that
so,
a headline?
It's so ironic that they're like, oh, it's good. Oh, small businesses. And like, sorry, guys. Again, I hate to get really political here, but small businesses are being, but it's been 2 fucking years and you guys haven't said
nothing.
Boo. Yeah. Oh, let me.
And exactly. I don't think you're being anti-small business because I know you're a small business guy.
I'm a second generation small business. Exactly. And we're,
you're right. They tend to want to use the word small business.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
When it benefits them.
Yeah.
But then 437 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Of lockdowns.
Yeah.
And on top of that.
And it's like, at 50%. Oh, I don't know about that.
I would love to know the number of 50% capacity on top of that.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's got to be like an 80, 90%.
Exactly.
And when you're talking 80, 90%, the past 3 years have all been about, what is it, like 0.05% has been the scary number.
Exactly.
80% sounds more scary to me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, and I know, like I say, I wasn't trying to get you onto the COVID talk, but I mean,
I could go on for hours, and most people,
I think,
would
both
be,
of us could,
and we'd probably get frowned upon by our own opinions.
So you're I'm too just, young to have that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't give a shit.
True.
I've carved my future.
Yeah. I'm just trying to lay low a little bit in some respect. I'm not trying to piss anybody off. So anyway, no.
But where do you see, so to that effect?
Yeah.
And it's probably a premature question.
Yeah.
So you've seen people like me, Darren, your mom. We've all bridged off. We've gotten into podcasts. We've got me. I'm pretty political.
Mm-hmm.
Not by choice. I got into all this because I tend to like to fight for the little guy.
No, I agree.
And I'm not one to sit on my hands.
Yeah.
So I say what I feel.
Exactly.
Where do you see that happening with you? Is mortgage brokerage it, or are you going to be multifaceted?
I think I'm going to be multifaceted. I'm starting to, we have an opportunity coming up. I'm sure you guys will figure it out in a couple weeks.
I already know.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You do know? Okay. Well, anyway, that's coming up.
And this is airing, I think we're airing like March 11th.
So maybe it'll, I was thinking maybe you'll know by the time this comes out, but no, I'm pretty excited about that. And also,
I was shocked to hear you were a partner.
Yeah, I'm a partner.
And requested to be a partner.
Nobody else, like, we wanted Evan and Ryan too, but we just thought, like,
told them to get out of your business. Quit copying me.
Well, no, we wanted to, because just in case, like, with a family, yep, we're going in on a business, you know, what happens if this? So we're just like, everybody gets a piece. But then we just kind of, and I always wanted it. I was actually the one kind of not looking, but I was looking like a couple weeks before this opportunity came up. And I thought, like I was looking at different things, like opportunities elsewhere. And then all of a sudden this came up. I looked at mom. She looked at me and she said, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" And I said, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" And she said, "We're doing it." So, and here we are. We're going, we will be taking possession of it again. I don't want to go into it too much, but yeah, no.
When do you take possession?
It was supposed to be February, but we had some,
like, just due diligence stuff.
Due diligence, and but not even due diligence stuff. Just kind of like, I would say, legal things that need to get, like, the SPA, that type of stuff, yep, needs to get finalized and stuff. But so yeah,
all secret recipes.
Exactly.
Have to be disclosed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Secret recipes. But anyway, and I'm gonna see myself getting into, like, more real estate investing, similar to Brock as well. I think that's cool.
So where are you getting your information and knowledge on the investments then? Like, where are you? Where's this mode? I know the rental, like, your home,
yeah,
turned into be a rental, yeah, rather than, and it's very Scott McGilvery of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living in your basement rather than living on the main floor type thing.
Yeah.
But where, like, where are you finding the courage, nerve, and education at 20 years old to be looking at investments, like a real estate investment?
I don't know. Like, I'll tell you kind of how it kind of started. Like, sure, honestly, COVID, this is kind of like my story. COVID, I didn't really know what the hell I was going to do. Like, again, I wasn't, yeah, a great student and going to college, and I was looking at a list of things, and it's just like looking it up and down, and I'm like, and my one teacher, she's very helpful. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Oh, this would be cool. This would be cool. And it just, nothing was really, it just, anyway. So COVID happened and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So I started to work like crazy. And then all of a sudden it kind of, that's when stocks took a big poop. And I just, you know, I kind of looked at my dad and I'm thinking, hey, what if we bought here and sold here? As simple, what if we buy low when it's at $70, and if it even just goes back to what it was,
pull out.
That's $100. Yeah. Pull out. We made this much money. And I was like, yeah. So I just started, I started watching YouTube. I started reading. That's when I started to pick up books. Like, again, I would never read a book. No. Never read a book. Anybody can attest to that. And then I just started, I got into something that I was interested. I read about, like, A Quarter of the Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. And it's just, like, it's from the 1930s, and it's just, it uses some old kind of terms and phrases, and it's kind of, anyway, but no, I started reading, it did help. I started watching YouTube, Graham Stephan. I started watching a little bit of Kevin O'Leary, Robert Kiyosaki.
He's huge, awesome. Kevin O'Leary.
Me too. Me too. I like him. He's unfiltered and he doesn't give a shit. So it's pretty,
I think, neat. He gives a shit.
Yeah.
I just think like what I said earlier, where I know my path.
Yeah.
He's not trying to offend anyone.
No.
He's trying to save time.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got a stupid idea,
yeah,
he's gonna tell you have a stupid idea. Yeah. I'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
But So anyway, keep going. So
yeah, so I just, you know, I started, like, reading, and I started, so there's a quote, I kind of like it. Formal education will make you a living, and self-education will make you a fortune. So I kind of took to that. I started reading again. In the last year, I've probably read, like, maybe like 6 or 7 books willingly. Like, willingly.
That's what,
and, like,
happens when you stay at your parents' house too long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, but
you have to go upstairs and watch Golden Girls with Brent and Tina.
Yeah, exactly. No, The Young and the Restless, the YNR, or the cop shows. They love the cop shows. Go up there every day and they're watching SWAT. I don't know. There's 10 of them they watch.
I think that's all that's pretty much on TV. We don't have TV, but yeah. I think that's pretty much that's on
the
now.
The cop shows, FBI, SWAT.
Yeah.
FBI Miami, FBI New York, FBI this. It's like the
FBI are everywhere.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. So, anyway, yeah, that's kind of how it kind of started for me.
And the high-low purchase worked in your favor.
Yeah.
And I know that because you shared the story.
Yeah.
And you bought your first rental.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, you bought your first home it was intended to be.
I bought my first home. I honestly wanted to live in there. I really, really, really... I was going to live in there for a couple months. I was going to live in there. And then I had two roommates. No, I had one roommate. Okay. This was in March when I was taking possession. I was like, you know, are you going to be, sure, yeah, we'll do it. And then, you know, he kind of never heard from him for a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, hey, and oh, I just am not going to do it. I just can't. So I was, okay. Next guy, he called me. He said, oh, do you have a place? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you know, do you need a roommate? And I was like, yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, like, that'd be sweet. And he's a pretty cool guy. I was like, yeah, sure, man. That'd be sweet. And I'll give you kind of like what I'm thinking of, like the numbers. Wouldn't be too much. Like, I'm not trying to make $1 million off them, but, you know, I'm just trying to
make
cover
sure
my
the bills
expenses.
Are paid.
Make sure the bills are paid. And then anyway, I was supposed to move in. I had already taken possession. I was supposed to move in on the Saturday, and by like the Wednesday, he called me and said, I just can't do it. And like, this guy, he's a kind of a jokester, but I really felt sincerity out of him, and I just kind of thought, like, you know, I'm glad he told me. He's like, I don't want to.
Rather than pooching you on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Pooching me, or no, like, oh, hey, can you pay me? Like, you know, can you send me money? Oh, I don't have any money. He's like, I don't want to be a squatter and this. And I was like, you know what? I'm just glad you told me now. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And I was nervous. I was like, I have to. Mom's like, you know what? Just find somebody to go in there. Just rent it. So rent it now. So
both sides.
Both sides, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a cash flow positive for you.
Yeah, it's an asset.
Yeah,
for sure. It does a
slightly
surplus. And
you're
surplus,
still young. So. It's not like you're 35 living at home.
Yeah,
you're 20.
Yeah, I'm 20. Like, come on, guys, I'm 20.
Like, Marissa hasn't even bought a place yet or looked to move out. Yeah. And you guys are the same age.
Yeah, she's 1 year older, I think.
Well, then she needs 1 year sooner to get the hell out.
Yeah,
yeah. Get out, Marissa.
Yeah.
Curtis says you have to get a mortgage through him
and
move out.
Not Tina. Go through
me. Yeah, yeah. Don't go to the wizard.
No, don't go to the wizard. Go to the...
the wizard in training.
Yeah, the wizard in training. But
So you have that, and then you've been watching all this stuff, and now you're dropping the bomb on me that you're looking at other investment properties. So residential rentals, commercial rentals, or is it just numbers? Like whatever makes numeric sense.
Yeah, I guess whatever makes numeric sense. I haven't really looked into commercial too much. Mainly residential. Right now, I can see myself exploring definitely exactly like numerical, whatever money charts.
Well, as long as it makes sense, right?
If it makes sense, you know. I mean, in some senses, like, yeah, sometimes it can not make sense, but make sense in the same, like, I was listening to Brock. I love to pull him up. He said, like, sometimes if you have to be, like, break even on something, but again, you're paying down the mortgage, you're growing the asset, it's appreciating over time, and your loan is shrinking. You know, sometimes even just breaking even, as unfortunate as it sounds, breaking even is sometimes
a
good
loss.
Investment. It's not a loss.
It's not.
And even if sometimes, you know, even if you bought, like, a $2 million property and you had to pay, like, $200 a month to keep up with it, they're paying down the mortgage $3,000. Like, you're just kind of, it's like adding to your net worth. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, no, I can see myself branching into different kind of avenues.
Let's try to set up a podcast, have you and Brock down here.
Yeah.
And have, like, the young gun, and I'm going to call
That'd
Brock
cool.
old gun here.
Yeah.
Have you two chat it up. And cool. I'd love to ask questions that because I think he's doing like 15 units or something in Alberta right now. And it's his biggest purchase ever.
Yeah.
But you know, after all this, he's been in the industry for 10 years or so. You know, he finally bought his home. He finally got a nice house in Gatineau. He takes possession in May. He's super pumped about it. But that's an avenue that, you know, even me, I was, over 10 years. So 35 when we finally bought a home, you know, I was always the entrepreneur. I was always grinding, always looking, searching, you know, same thing.
Yeah.
But it was late in life. So I think building that portfolio is, again, like, you're impressing a lot of us that are watching you.
If I can, like, I'm just thinking if I could buy like one a year, I mean, if I can pay down the mortgage and grow the asset, like, it's appreciates over time, you know, and just, I think, like, it's hard to get into, but it's a simple kind of concept in some sense. Like, obviously saving up for a down payment is quite difficult, especially for most people, again, because I live at home, I save, I have a full-time job, I don't go out
and
blow my
and
money.
Two rentals.
And two units, and then, you know.
Don't sell yourself short.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
You got it going for you.
And so, I mean, it is hard, but it's an easy concept, but it is kind of hard to do. So anyway, no, but if I could buy, I used to have a number on what I wanted, but I here's what I think. Like, if I can do 200 units, like, I think Brock said he had
115.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I can do 115, I can do 300. If I can do 300.
Hear that, Brock? He's going to do 160 because you only have 150.
Well, yeah, no. Like, if I can do 160, I can do 300. Like, I read the book 10X Rule, and it said, like, by Grant Cardone, it requires the same effort. It requires the same effort whether you have 100 units or 200 units. It's going to take the same amount of effort, really.
But also, I think when you get to a level like that, and I never got on the topic with Brock or other people that I know, but I'm assuming that you have an agency that manages, because, I mean, you don't want 115 tenants blowing up your email because they have
all
no
the time.
Water or heat or the guy downstairs is loud.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you get like an investment protection. Yeah. You get like a property management company to step in and take care of it. Then that way you can focus on the daily numbers.
Exactly.
I think that's the right move to go with. How much have you found, though, being young and looking at this? And I mean, you have to still feel that every dollar you earn is like you want to protect it as much as you want to invest it. With the ridiculous pricing that's happening right now. You can't find a good... kind of COVID your other place.
I did.
But now that place is probably 100, 150,000 more than what you would have paid for it.
I think, honestly, so we have access through our mortgage system. We have access to something called a purview, so I could pull up your house. I could pull up Grandma Carol's house. I could pull up... It's attached to the land registry office, so... It is public knowledge, but I can pull up any house pretty much in Ontario and
that's
look up the value.
On land.
No, it's called Purview.
Okay.
Purview. It's powered by Terranet.
Yeah.
But anyway,
mine's called On Land my world, and it's the same thing.
Okay.
We can pull
same
up
shit.
Everything charges everything.
Exactly. If there's a lien on it, mortgage, currently a mortgage, who's on title.
Yeah.
But I can see the value. So I bought this place for $200 in like early 2021 before it went nuclear, and now I think it's worth. I pulled a purview and it says it's worth 260.
But people are offering 100K
over
asking.
Yeah.
Like,
so
that's
crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. For a young guy, this is where I'm going with it. For a young guy trying to get in to buy more property, you're almost overvaluing overinvesting and undervaluing today.
Yeah.
Because these prices aren't going to stick.
No. Yeah. And that's one thing, what I said before is the way I'm kind of looking at it at the very worst, this is how I'm looking at it. Even if you just like break even in some sense, like you break even each month, it's paying down the mortgage and it's kind of growing the asset.
Because they're already putting profit back into your mortgage, right? Like, 'cause you're paying it down.
Exactly. And it's going to like grow. So, I mean, at the very worst, like for anybody really getting into it, at some sense, like if you can...
You're good.
Nope. Oh, I thought one of your guys died here. If you can just like not everything you may not cash flow $600 the first property you kind of get. You may have to, especially like again, you're paying $100,000 over asking, like the price of the mortgage each month. You may be like very close. You may be breaking even, but I mean, especially if you could get a duplex and house hack, right? So the house hack is duplex, live in one half, okay? The other half you're renting. But if you get a roommate too, even if I was going to get a roommate in this
it's
place.
It's like two-thirds of the...
I was going to break even. Yeah. And I was living for free. I could live for free because all the expenses
for
are covered
free in
by,
your own house.
In my own house while they're paying down the mortgage, while the asset's growing in value. So even if, you know, in some sense, if you could just like break even... In 25 years, I'm sure you'll be pretty impressed. So anyway,
well, and that's a lot of people get nervous because we do the boarding app,
and
they're like, "Oh, I have to stick to these three questions."
Yeah.
No, so what I do is I study that Sunday night, even yours, and then I read it a bit this morning again too. Mm-hmm. There's not a paper on this table, and I just carry through. I know the hot spots. I tend to want to be invested. Now we're getting into guests now. AI guides. I just booked. Have you heard of Loft? So they are they have a business model. So they rent communal office space.
Okay.
They go into malls that aren't making money because of vacancies,
cost
share with the mall, and bring in, you and I could have a board meeting in a boardroom and rent by the hour. Or you could just need a fax. Or you could be on a trip in Florida and go in and use a Zoom conference. It's
That's cool.
They're awesome. So they're all over Toronto. They're growing this way. They reached out. So I don't have, like, I haven't grown up with them. I didn't get to know them through the years. You know, I don't work with their parents or their friends or their aunts or their uncles. So those ones are getting a little trickier to interview. But but I think it is all about the conversation, because especially like with you, Curtis, the young people that are going to watch this and have been watching, you're like episode 20, I think, or 21. And they're like, oh, listen to this old guy rant on about small business and talk to other old people. And so I'm sitting here with a 20-year-old that's an up-and-comer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Going to stick with this. Second-generation mortgage agent, you know, or broker, whatever you want to call it. And learning those values at such a young age that, I mean, literally, if you look at it numerically and push the, you know, the golden 65, you could be a 40-year mortgage broker. That's insane.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I got tormented for being the young guy.
Yeah.
Nobody thought I knew my stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd already, like, when I, Annable Designs has only been around for, I don't know, 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. But all the years I put in before,
yeah,
I was treated like mud.
So were you, so did you work for them, or were you kind of like, do your own thing under our kind of, like,
so I had to, so like before Annable Designs?
Yeah.
So before Annable Designs, I was working for Colette Surveying.
Okay.
I was the, so I, let me put it this way. I came out of school out of architecture.
Yeah.
Didn't like books.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to go into third year, which they were designing like three-dimensional clocks. And I was like, what the hell does this have to do with houses?
Yeah.
And I caught wind of the civil engineering program, which was like breaking concrete and tipping over buildings and doing surveying. And I was like, I looked at the courses. I could finish second year and take 2 years of civil engineering in 1 year. So I jumped in.
Yeah.
And I did it. And did that. So I came back. Jordan was, we were a month away from Jordan being born.
Yeah.
I need a job.
Yeah.
Took a job at the beer store. Cause I couldn't find work.
Yeah.
And, I worked 3 days and got a call from Colette to come work for him. I told the beer store to not even issue me a paycheck. I worked 3 days. I said, sorry.
Keep it.
Well, sorry, I put them out.
Yeah.
Right? I was on the trucks.
Yeah.
People have to have their beer.
Yeah.
so anyway, I worked for Brent Collette at Collette Surveying, and I learned survey on the job. So because of architecture, I had really good CAD skills and understanding of like trig math, all that math that we use that you probably hated math as well, but we're both in professions that are math.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
You're in ratios and percents. I'm in trigonometry.
Yeah. Same shit, different blah.
It is. It is. We both hated it, right? Yeah. But anyway, so I learned survey, became kind of an office manager, and was responsible for anything and everything going through that office for 15 years. But just grew apart. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
It wasn't my thing. Yeah. Architecture was. So for the last, I think for the last 10 years of Colette, I'd started, well, it's behind you on the wall. I started Jordan Consulting, and we closed it because it was taking up too much time of my day job.
Okay.
Because it was getting big.
Yeah.
Then I started David T. Annable Designs in 2007, and again, started getting too big and interfering with my job. And then I was like, wait a minute, every time I start this, it gets too big.
Yeah.
So in 2012, I said, I literally didn't even tell Natasha, my wife. I went in. And, you know, my boss and I kind of ruffled each other's feathers.
Yeah.
And I quit at noon.
Nice.
I just called her and said, I don't have a job.
Well.
And I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah. No.
But again, cool. I see that in you a little bit, where we're not cut from the same mold.
Yeah.
It's, you can't, we're not going to put a suit on.
No.
For 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Robotically eat our lunch when everyone says, take a break when everyone says,
yeah,
and stay in a little cookie cutter mold of business.
Exactly.
And I think that's going to be one of the, you know, the positive spins. I'm sure you've heard me say it before. That's going to be one of the positive spins on COVID. Because we've broken the mold of society.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way we do business, like you may find out the best time to work out is between 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Well, great. So you're going to work from 9 till 2.
Yeah.
Then you're going to work 4 to 7. But 2 to 4?
My time.
Me time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's I tell you, like we were talking before the air, Mondays. We don't open our office on Mondays.
Yeah.
Why? We have to have time to get shit done.
Yeah.
And you that's need to find when that time is too, because you're probably getting a taste of it right now with Tina being away.
Yeah.
That you're not, she's not passing you stuff to do, which frees you up to do stuff you want to do business wise.
Yeah.
But also the flexibility of being able to see life and work and the balance.
Yeah. Mom, Tina used to, this was before kind of, well, because I came in during COVID, so I don't think this place was open, but there's a place in Kemple called Saltastic, and she would go there.
I've seen that on social, I think, yes.
Yeah, I think it's one of the, Karen is in one of the networking groups, I believe, NGBB, I believe. Anyway, she owns
Saltastic. Yes, that would be where I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she has this, salt place, and it's supposed to reduce stress. There's a whole, I should have maybe been more kind of anyway, but no, yeah. So it reduces stress pretty much. There's other benefits, but
they have them at Nordique and everything too. They're so, really coming out. It's like the big salt wall.
Yeah. Big salt wall. It's very dim. They play kind of, autogenic music.
Maybe. Serenity.
Serenity music. But anyway, she would go, she'd be just stressed like, and so.
Tina.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. she would go in at like 1. She'd go in at 1 and she'd be just stressed right out. And she'd go in for an hour. And her mind was so clear. And she'd come back and she'd work. If she was working at the bank, they'd tell her to go kick rocks.
Well, you wouldn't be able to.
No.
Yeah.
Go kick rocks, lady. Who do you think you are?
But we all need to find those. Like me, cooking. And I know you're a big cook too. Cooking's my de-stress. I was talking to Bruce Wiley on the radio this morning, and he's got his plants in.
Okay.
So he just lost his father.
Oh.
Like literally last week, and he said to me, he unplugged, no news, and he's into his plants.
Nice.
And he's feeling better.
Nice.
And I'm like, you just have to find those avenues. But cooking, that's mine. I get home, I put the music on, and just cook.
Nice. I made a steak the other night, and I don't have steak very often, but me and my friend, we were just whipping up a steak, and it was like a $4 steak, and I said to him after, I was like, I wouldn't pay for this kind of steak, but I would pay for the flavor. It tasted really damn good,
too. Have you had Wagyu yet?
No. I was telling my friend there. I was like,
$100 steaks.
Yeah, we're not worthy, honestly. And I said to him,
best steak I've ever had in my life.
I won't wear. Where'd you get it?
So Wiser Meats.
Where? Oh, you order it?
We order it. They're an Ottawa butcher. All clean, clean meats, poultry, seafood, everything else. Mm-hmm. I can get you the contact of the owner, Tim, if you want. But he delivers this way, so just drops it at the house in a cooler with dry ice.
Yeah.
But the butcher shop also has, so they have, I want to say there's it's all by grade.
Yeah.
There's our Australian Wagyu.
Okay. I think that's pretty
Tim's
good.
Was Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
Which is the prime. Top of the, so it's all about how far from the original cow are you.
Yeah.
Is the grade. But it literally takes like 2 minutes to cook on each side. Like you want it so rare and it just, it's butter.
If you touch it, like you say, don't touch it with your fingers because you'll melt it.
You will. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm too, like, honestly, I used to really love to cook. Now kind of, I do, but I'm too scared to cook a Wagyu because it's like, you got to be worthy to cook one of those things, especially if they're $200, $100 a steak.
We bought three steaks and it was like $300.
Yeah, if you fucked that up.
I was nervous as hell.
Like, just to, like, you just kind of...
Oh, we were Googling it YouTube on when to flip, and I had it down to times.
Yeah,
and
I would be like, what temperature of pan? And I'd be putting the friggin' thermometer on the pan just to be like, okay, bring this up to 150.
That was the other one, is they had, the skillet had to be, like, piping.
Yeah.
So I've got one of those press skillets that have the heavy lid with the grill marks.
Okay.
So you got to put it in the pan with some butter
and
heat the tar out of it and then add the steak. But it was so good.
I want to try one.
It was amazing.
Like I would definitely pay for it, but I got to go.
Don't want to screw it up.
I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to screw it up.
Like, be over for a steak.
Well, yeah, no, like I would go to like a Japanese restaurant and definitely like I would pay like $200 for it. I would. It's not about the money. It's about the me buying it and then fucking it up and it just not doing it justice. That's why.
You'd have to do a video with like burning a $100 bill or something after it. No, but that was the same with the wood fire pizza that we have at the house now.
Yeah.
I pooched like the first five, like full raw dough stuck. I'm scraping it. I was cursing. I'm swearing. But now we've got it down. I watched a few. So I was watching some YouTube videos on it on how to use this Bertelli pizza oven.
Yeah.
And the one guy was like, there's no content. So I started a YouTube page. Mm-hmm. He's like, these things have been out for a year, but nobody's making videos on them and nobody knows how to do it.
Yeah.
They just give you a box.
Yeah.
And so this guy, he screws up the videos. They're almost funny, but they're serious. But watching what he screwed up really helped. And now we do the pizzas outside. We line it all up. It takes 4 minutes for raw dough.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets to like 900
degrees. Do you cook anything else in there? Or just
we've done nachos. And we've added like the hickory and maple chips, so it smokes it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Natasha's big on the nachos. She's not big on the pizza.
No.
Jordan and I can eat pizza every day of the week. We love it.
I think I'd like margheriti pizza in the pizza or in the
wood fire.
Yeah, the wood fire.
Yeah,
that would be very.
It's
nice.
Pretty cool because I find too, like you know how most people like shredded mozzarella, they put it over. I buy the balls and I cut it up so that it separates.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's like yeah.
Yeah, and it perfectly broils it. Like it's literally every 30 seconds you have to turn it.
Okay.
For 4 minutes, from raw dough, it's done.
How do you cook it when it's raw dough though? How do you spin it?
It's all about flour.
Oh, you got to
flour the stone, and you got to flour the flipper that you're using.
Yeah.
And you've got these little tongs to help just spin it.
Yeah.
You just quarter spin it every 30 seconds.
Because
it's like 900 at the back and 750 at the front, so you'll burn it.
Yeah.
But it's good.
That's cool.
Yeah, we built a big pizza counter.
Nice.
So we can set out all the stuff.
Oh, the ingredients and stuff.
And then we can all just sit at the back.
Nice. That's pretty cool. There's a restaurant in Prescott, the Turkish restaurant.
Yeah.
I love them. They are so good, but they get a lot of PR
about how good their stuff is.
Yeah. I went there like once and I had the pizza from there. Evan brought it home and it was leftovers and it was chicken and veggie. And and I tried it and I was like, wow, this is damn good. So then I bought one time. And it was just a chicken. It's unreal. And they use the pizza, they make the wood-fired oven.
I think Joe's in Spencerville has a wood-fired oven, too.
That's pretty cool.
It makes a huge difference. It really does. I was skeptic, and I tried one at a buddy's house or something, the wood-fired pizza, and I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, even for all like the gatherings we have at the house and stuff, I'm like, could you imagine like you're over and you're having a couple drinks, and you're like, hey, do you want a pizza?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And especially if it cooks quick.
Oh, yeah, we had, I want to say.
And do you make the dough?
No, we buy pre-made dough, but raw dough, right? Okay. It's not formed. It's all in balls, and we cut it up and we separate it. And one of those things where I think it was one of the boys' birthdays, and we did everyone threw the pizza.
Nice.
It was cool, and it went pretty quick. You just have to have all this. That's why we built
ready.
We had the big counter made, but it's pretty cool. So
that's pretty cool.
Well, thanks for coming out, man.
Yeah, what time is it?
I don't know. We're 10. So we made it.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that went pretty fast. Like, again.
So you'd do it again?
I would do it again. Maybe because right now I don't know why you had me on because I'm an amateur. I'm not a pro. Maybe I'll come back in 2 years, a year and a half, and I'll
see how many units you have.
Yeah, and I'll be able to say that I'm actually a pro on the pros talk. Hey, maybe I'll start up a podcast called Amateurs Talk.
You should, because, I mean, that's one of the biggest points and why I was bugging you to come on. And and even Tina, when I was talking to her, she's like, you know, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, we're going to fill an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no questions about it, but you are a pro.
Yeah.
And I'm a big advocate for the... we need youth to take a leap.
Yeah.
You, like you said, if college or university is, especially university,
yeah.
if it's not for you,
yeah.
don't do it. And yeah. and I think you're doing everything right.
Yeah.
You might feel like a tool someday. Yeah. You might feel like you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. You might feel like an outcast.
I do.
But we all do.
Yeah.
It's it really, like, I was the dipshit kid that couldn't, you know, get through school. I was like a 70 average.
Yeah.
But I think I'm doing okay now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Everyone's healthy. Everyone's happy. I don't give a shit about the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I'm the same kind of thing. I don't have, like, again, yeah, some people, yeah, you may look and like, I'm doing pretty well. But again, I still think, like, I have so much to learn and so much to do that, like I'm not done.
You're only 20% of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I think, like, one of the biggest things is when people think they've accomplished everything at, like, the age of 40 or 35, mm-hmm. maybe, or they're in that rut.
Yeah.
If they don't make that leap to entrepreneurship,
yeah.
or just quitting the bank and seeing what's next,
yeah.
you'll die young.
Yeah.
It just, you can't. We're creatures of habit and hobby, and it has to exactly. be positive.
I agree.
And that's, no, I'm glad you came on. And like I say, I don't see you as a punk little kid. I see you as a professional.
Thank you.
And I've enjoyed the chat.
Yeah, me too. Actually, I really have. I thought I'd be really nervous coming on here.
You settled down pretty quick. It only took about five minutes.
No, yeah, no. This went pretty well. I mean, I would definitely come back, maybe give it a year, and I'll actually be a pro. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll try to get you and Brock on too.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, thanks again, man.
Okay.
To find out more about Curtis Murray from Dominion Lending Centers, call 343-264-2706 or email Curtis at curtis@ivegotamortgageforthat.com. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Pros Talk, an SME podcast. The Pros Talk is an Ontario-approved professionals production. Special thanks to DCE Media Productions, dcemediaproductions.ca. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe on any of the available platforms.